Okay. Once again, I don't think we've ever done this before, have two broadcasts on a Sunday morning. And the reason we're doing this is because the Lord's... I want to encourage some folks this morning. I want to encourage all of you. And some of the body here are not present today. And then also, I believe this might have some benefit to those who are not part of our church body. Anybody listening? First of all, I want to say thank you to Jacinda for the wonderful testimony that you just shared. If you're just now joining and you missed what Jacinda shared, don't stop listening now and go back. Wait until this is done and then go back and hear Jacinda Tate's testimony of God's grace. And we're so thankful for what God has done in your life and in Andrew's life and how he has done so much in you in just under a year now. We're so thankful to the Lord for that. Glad to be a part, small part of it. Anyway, what I wanted to share, knowing that we would have a shorter time this morning, and this is the time of the year I normally speak. I spoke last Sunday, and I encouraged everybody that if you had not planned on reading through the Bible in a year, that I wanted to strongly encourage you to do so. This Sunday, we're just 2 days. This is day number two into the new year, so I thought I would go again at it. When I was growing up, my dad, he used to love spring onions, and he would normally go out in the garden and pick them, get them all cleaned up, and have them laid nicely on a plate. And then as he had a sandwich or his meal or whatever, he'd take onions off of it and just chew through these spring onions. And invariably, he would say, "Steve, these onions are good." He'd have an onion. He'd say, "These onions are good. You want one?" And I'd say, "No, thanks, Dad. I'm good." And he'd have some more. And after a while, he'd pick up the plate and he'd put it under my nose. He'd say, "Steve, these onions are really good. Don't you want one?" I said, "No, Dad, thank you, but I don't want one." And I didn't know how to tell him I didn't want one, but he kept trying. Well, that's kind of like I am. I'm not preaching this morning. I'm just a guy wanting to put some onions under your nose and tell you it's good, you ought to try it. But reading through the Bible in a year is a whole lot better than onions. And by the way, I have learned to enjoy spring onions with my meal. And thanks to my dad, I guess. I don't know. But I hope it doesn't take as many years for you to enjoy the benefits of reading through the Bible in years it took me to learn to like spring onions. But I'm going to have one more go at it this year, so y'all allow me to do that. I don't have anything prepared. This was just kind of on my heart to do, to use this opportunity. I think the first time, I said to you last week, for those of you who were here, that there's never been anything that I really wanted to do. In fact, the discipline of reading through the Bible in a year, I enjoy. Once I got born again, I started reading the Scriptures, and I enjoyed reading what the Lord led me to read or what I felt impressed to go and find and read. I enjoyed that, and I enjoyed getting closer to the Lord through reading His Word. But the discipline of reading through the Bible in a year, verse by verse by verse, was just something that I had no heart to do, and to me it smacked of legalism, and many of the people that I hung around with felt the same way, and they just strengthened this thing in me that, you know, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, I'm going to tell you up front, I was wrong in having that frame of mind. I don't know where it came from, but it wasn't God telling me not to read His Word. Now, once again, I was reading His Word, and I was studying His Word, and I was preparing messages, I was preaching. I just didn't want to be under the bondage of having to every day follow a disciplined path of doing this. But our good friend Paul Randerson mentioned that their church over in England was reading through the Bible in a year. They began doing it. I believe when I heard about it, it was the second year they were doing it. And they were all on the same plan. We might try that one year, all going the same plan, so we're all reading the same verse the same day. That doesn't need to happen this year. In fact, it's probably not going to, but we ought to think about doing that in the future. But that got me to thinking, and especially when he began to say how the people in their body, they were emailing and texting and calling and sharing on Sundays and Wednesdays whenever they met about what they read, and they were all interacting with one another concerning that. And I thought, what a healthy, healthy thing to have happen. Not only are they reading through the Bible, but they're discussing with one another. So I thought, you know what? It's early on in the new year. I'm going to do that this year. So Susan and I took that up as a challenge. Susan's a whole lot better at disciplined stuff than I am. So it wasn't anything at all for her to say yes, that she was going to join with me. In fact, as I've mentioned before, I really don't read. I listen, and Susan reads. And it just works out better. We do it together, and I let her read most times. Sometimes I play it on an app if she's too tired to focus on reading. But we make it through the Bible in a year. We've been doing so for more than 10 years now, and I'm so thankful to God that he led us in to doing that. That which began as a journey of, I'm going to do this, I'm committed to doing it, I hope I make it, became a year at the end of that year of, I made it, we made it together. And at the end of that year, I thought, you know what? That was good. That was good for me. That was good for us. Shall we do it again? And Susan said, absolutely. So we did it again. And there's no question about it. At the end of the year, New Year's Eve, we finished reading the last 18 through 22, I believe it is, in Revelation. And we knew that New Year's Day, which was yesterday, would start up in Genesis. Our plan takes us that way. So, I'm saying all this over again, just like Dad with the onions. This Bible's really good. You ought to try it. And I know everybody here reads their Bible. I know you. You're godly people. You read your Bible. I'm not talking about reading your Bible. I'm not talking about studying your Bible. I'm talking about reading the whole thing in a year. What does that do for you? Well, it allows the Word of God, all of it, to come in the ear gate into the heart. You got the eye gate and you got the ear gate. The Word of God comes in. If you're just listening, it comes in. There's a blessing in Revelation that we just got through reading this month, that the Lord blesses those who read His Word and those who hear it. So it's okay to let your wife or your husband or an app play. Hearing is just as good. Read it and hear it, or just hear it. But having the benefit of the whole Word of God is extremely beneficial, because you're able over time to see that there are other concepts that go along with some of the preached passages, some of your favorite passages. It's like a tent pole. It's kept straight up by the tension that's put on it, pulled in different directions. And too often, people, when it comes to the Word of God, they'll find a scripture or they'll hear a scripture, and it's true. But it's not balanced with the rest of the Word of God. So you got all this pulling in one direction, and it can be out of balance. And that's why you see Christians that aren't living a life or go off kind of cockeyed, go off on a trail they shouldn't be on, is because they're getting all of their information just from one stream of understanding of Scripture rather than let other passages of Scripture complement and balance what's being said. So it's like a tent pole. You got these tent wires, these guy wires going in different directions, and you have proper tension going in different directions is holding that tent pole steady, and the strongest wind will not be able to blow it over. That's how our faith grows, is by having the whole counsel of the Word of God bring balance to the things. For example, how many of you know that God is love? We know that God is love. All unsaved people know that God is love. Even if they don't believe in God, if there is a God, He's a God of love, and He loves everything I'm doing. You know, He loves me, He loves my sin, He wants me to be happy. God is love. We can have this belief, this truth that God is love out of balance, and it pulls people way off into sin. But God is also a holy God. You begin to see the whole counsel of God, and it puts everything into balance. That's one of the benefits that reading through the Bible in a year does. It takes you through the whole Scripture, and you begin to see things. And as you read, as you hear, truth, revelation happens. You've heard me say this before. I don't get something every time. I don't get revelation every time we read the Word of God. But when I do, it's like a jewel. The other times, it's just being stored because I hear it, and then later on as I'm driving my car, I'm sitting on the lawnmower and mowing, whatever I'm doing, a Scripture that I haven't thought about, I don't remember if I've ever thought about it, just pops into my head. Where did that come from? It came from reading and hearing the Word of God. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. So, reading the Word of God is planted in our hearts, and it's up to the Holy Spirit to bring it forth whenever He wants to. But that happens to me so often, to where it didn't mean anything to me in particular. I honored it because it's the Word of God. I don't disregard it. It just had no special meaning at the time. But then later on, the Lord would speak to me and bring it up. And then I'd go, how did I know it was there? Because I heard it at some point in my life. And now that we've read it through over and over again, I don't know how many times, I don't want to exaggerate. I know it's over 10. Now that we've gone through more than 10 times, I know through that Bible reading I've heard it. Probably heard it preached before or whatever, but I know I've heard it. I know I've heard every Scripture that is in that Bible multiple times. So God has an opportunity to speak to me in ways that He didn't before. So again, I want to encourage you. I'm not preaching right now. I'm just a guy that really loves something real a lot, and I want to share it with you. Now, what I want to do, I want to ask my wife, Susan, to come up. Do you feel like doing it? We're going to try to make this work. It's Genesis for today. And before she comes up, there are multiple plans. And again, we as a church body this year are not reading on the same plan. I'll change the plan I'm on to be on the same plan everybody else is on in another year. I don't care. This plan doesn't mean anything to me. It's just a way of doing it. But in the plan that we're on, we start over in Genesis, and it's not... excuse me while I look this up. Yesterday we did Genesis 1 through 3 on New Year's Day. Today it's Genesis 4 through 7. I want Susan to come read Genesis 4 through 7. And what this will do, I'd like for, once she starts reading, somebody to time it And each day is different. Some days are shorter, and this plan that we're doing is not exact. Psalm 119 is one day. That's the longest chapter in the Bible. And that's a lot longer than today. Some of them are shorter than today. But it all kind of averages out. So we want to see how long this takes, and we want to see kind of what your investment would be per day. Some days being shorter, some days being longer. I also want to share, before Susan comes up, that the version of the Bible you use, that's down to you. The plan that you use is down to you and the Lord. The time of day is completely up to you. I would suggest this, that because it's a discipline thing, that you discipline yourself to do it at a regular time. Susan and I normally do it in the evening. And before we go to bed, sometime before we go to bed, this is one of the things that has to be done. I don't go to bed without brushing my teeth. I don't go to bed without having read the scriptures for that day. It's just a matter of getting into a routine and having it regular. So that's what we do, but you do it in the morning if you want to. You wake up in the middle of the night. It doesn't matter. This is what keeps it from being legalism. It's you doing things the way you feel is right for you, but you're working through the Bible, and you're going to get it all done in a year. And the benefit that is. And then one other thing, if you're not a good reader, I have to have reading glasses on when I read. If you're not a good reader, if you can't find your glasses, if you think that driving to work most days would be a great time, there are apps that play audio Bibles. Bible Gateway is one that has audio Bibles. And in that, it has multiple readers, different voices, if you want to hear different people read, and it has different versions of the Bible. So there's many ways of doing this. I'm not trying to say do this my way. Do it however you feel the most comfortable. Okay, but we're going to have Susan come up. We're going to read chapters 4-7. And who's got a... Tim? Tim's going to time it, so we'll have an idea of kind of what an average daily reading, how much investment in time it will take you. So, Susan?
Good morning, everybody. Okay, chapters 4-7. Now Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time, his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me." And the Lord said to him, "Therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold." And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch. And he built a city, and he called the name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. To Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begot Mehujael, and Mehujael begot Methushael, and Methushael begot Lamech. Then Lamech took for himself two wives. The name of one was Ada, and the name of the second was Zillah. And Ada bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who play the harp and flute. And as for Zillah, she also bore Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every craftsman in bronze and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Then Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, "Hear my voice. Wives of Lamech, listen to my speech, for I have killed a man for wounding me, even a young man for hurting me. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. And Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For God has appointed another seed for me instead of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and his name was Enosh. Then men began to call on the name of the Lord." Chapter 5. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female, and blessed them and called them mankind in the day they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness and his image, after his image, and named him Seth. After he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Seth lived 105 years and begot Enosh. After he begot Enosh, Seth lived 807 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Enosh lived 99 years and begot Canaan. After he begot Canaan, Enosh lived 815 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. Canaan lived 70 years, and he begot Mahalalel. After he begot Mahalalel, Canaan lived 840 years, and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. Mahalalel lived 65 years, and begot Jared. After he begot Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. Jared lived 162 years, and he begot Enoch. After he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. This is really something else when you start reading. And when you get to all the names further on, but anyway. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Enoch lived 65 years, and he begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. After he begot Lamech, Methuselah lived 700 and 82 years, and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Lamech lived 182 years and had a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, "This one will comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord had cursed, or has cursed." After he begot Noah, Lamech lived 595 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old. And Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Chapter 6. Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful. And they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not strive with man forever. For he is indeed flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years." There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, "I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them." But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Then this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with the violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window in the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubit from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. And behold, I myself am bringing floodwaters on the earth to destroy from under heaven all flesh in which is the breath of life. Everything that is on the earth shall die. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall go into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And of every living thing of all flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark to keep them alive with you. They shall be male and female. Of the birds after their kind, of animals after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, two of every kind will come to you to keep them alive. And you shall take for yourself of all food that is eaten, and you shall gather it to yourself, and it shall be food for you and for them." Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him. So he did. Chapter 7. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you seven each of every clean animal, a male and his female, two each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female, also seven each of birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth. For after seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy them. I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made." And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters were on the earth. So Noah, with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives, went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of clean animals of animals that are unclean, of birds, and of everything that creeps on the earth. Two by two they went into the ark to Noah, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons, with them entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, and every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two of all flesh, in which is the breath of life. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Now the flood was on the earth 40 days. The waters increased and lifted up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and greatly increased on the earth, and the ark moved about on the surface of the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth and on all the high hills under the earth, on all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered, and all flesh died that moved on the earth, birds and cattle, and beasts, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of the spirit of life, all that was on the dry land died. So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping things and bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. And that is the end of chapter 7. Thank you, Amen.
Okay, Tim, how long was that? 14 minutes. Okay, a quarter of an hour is what it took today with our reading in this plan today to accomplish what we wanted to accomplish. Some days are a little shorter, some days are a little longer, but a quarter of an hour. I'm not going to keep belaboring the point. I just wanted to do everything I could to encourage you to get on a plan, read through the Bible in a year. Don't look at it as something that you will benefit. This is nothing to please me. You're not going to gain any reward, earthly reward. You're not going to be elected mayor or nothing. I can't promise you anything good is going to happen other than you will be blessed of the Lord by, number one, honoring Him by reading His Word and having a deeper understanding of that Word. And just before I close, and like I said last week, this is no stipulation. This is no condition of relationship. Whether you're do it or not, whether you start or not, whether you start and finish or not, it doesn't matter. That's between you and the Lord. My job is to try to encourage you and say, here, these are good, try some. But I mentioned that there are ways of listening to the Bible. This is from Bible Gateway. There are multitude of different readers. This is Max McLean. He's very traditional. And this is the King James Version. I'm just going to play just for a tiniest little bit so you can hear.
The book of Genesis, chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said,
okay, I'm not going to play anymore. That's King James Version in his voice. There's King James Version in other people. There's anything you can think of. Whatever floats your boat, it's in there. If you prefer to have it read to you by somebody else, or you want to make use of drive time or whatever, just realize it's going to be exercise. You're going to have to exercise some discipline in doing it and being faithful with it. You say, yeah, but what happens if I don't finish? Yeah, what happens if you do? What happens if this year I start again and I don't finish again? Well, however far you got that much out of it. Praise God. You didn't lose anything. And then, but what happens if this year you do make it through the end? Yes, brother.
Steve, you might have God's putting something in my heart.
Okay.
Talk about it, you care about it. Have a quick word.
Yeah, is this in line with this?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't you, I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and to make it easier, go ahead and cut the feed off and then